So I did my graduate research at Humboldt State University using wastewater-derived algae as a source of nitrogen. At least in California anyway, algae is a really common component of a lot of wastewater treatment systems. It's used to remediate some of the effluent. Organisms such as Chlorella, Euglena, Chlamydomonas, and other similar algae organisms are often found in these wastewater treatment facilities. In California, at least, there's over 300 similar facilities. And for the most part, that algae is really not very well utilized. Currently, there's three ways that it is used. One of them is that it's basically placed back in the beginning of the cycle. So once it reaches a certain point of growth where it slows down in the wastewater treatment ponds, it's harvested, removed, and put back at the beginning of the process. Which is just adding more waste into the whole treatment process. The other thing that happens is it's transported and landfilled, so it's just wasted. Some facilities will use it as anaerobic digestion, but that's not very common. So the question is then, is can it be used for fertilizer? When I started my graduate studies, a company named Algorithms approached our department and basically wanted to know what can we do with this. They had tried to use it as a biofuel. There's not enough oil content in it to make it a really worthwhile sort of thing based on the species that they were. So they had two main questions. Can the algae be used as a fertilizer? And then how well does it compare to other fertilizers? So I'll just go through a brief outline. Hypothesis, methods, materials, results, discussions, and then quite a bit of conclusions and further research possibly needed. So the research was based on two main hypotheses. One, that equivalent applications of nitrogen should yield similar amounts of biomass and total Caldol nitrogen regardless of fertilizer type. And we also used several rates of application and assumed that the rates of application should increase with that biomass should increase with increasing nitrogen rates. So the two things that were measured were biomass yield and total Caldol nitrogen. It was a pretty simple bioassay study. We used four different fertilizers. One was the algae. There was a separate trial with just algae and then also one with algae and micronutrients. The other three trials also had micronutrients, and we used bat guano, the inorganic reagent grade fertilizers, which were all separate, ammonium nitrate, triple superphosphate, and muriate of potash, which were equivalent to the NPK of the algae, which was about 6% nitrogen, 2% phosphorus, and about 0.5% potassium. And then it was also compared against some Scott's Lawn fertilizer. The reason for the varying sorts of fertilizers was we weren't really sure how it would compare to any of them. So it was applied at three different rates, 100 pounds an acre, 200 pounds an acre, and 400 pounds an acre. The reason for the higher rate of nitrogen was to see if there was sort of an over limit. Annual ryegrass, or Lolium multiflorum, was the indicator species. It was all grown in standard potting soil. Overall, there was 19 treatments. Each of them had 10 replicates, so for sample size, for biomass, there's 190. For the total Caldol nitrogen, two samples were taken from each pot, so there was a total of 380. They're grown out for 4 weeks, and that's so. As far as results were concerned, algae increased growth at increasing levels. It was significantly higher at all rates than any of the controls. It didn't perform quite as well. Or it actually performed significantly less at the lower application rates, at the 100 and 200 pounds per acre, than any of the other treatments. However, at the 400 pounds per acre, algae actually did significantly better than the Scott's, was equal to the inorganic, and was considerably less than the guano. The bat guano actually did much better than everything else did. But as far as the algae was concerned, the algae has a fair amount of micronutrients on its own, and the addition of micronutrients didn't make any significant difference between any of those. So those were kind of the main differences that were found between those. So you can see on the top left picture, there's the control with the algae and then the algae versus micro at the highest application rate. And then on the bottom is the control, the Scott's fertilizer, the bat guano, and inorganic. So comparing in between each fertilizer source, the algae increased with increasing levels, and the letters denote significance at the P of 0.05. Bat guano was the same. The inorganic treatment didn't really have any significant difference between any of the application rates, and the Scott's only had a minor difference between the 200, or between the 100 and 200 and 400. The Scott's had at least 7% slow-release nitrogen, so it can be expected that it wouldn't really cause high yields. So that was one of the things that algae may possibly be useful for, is kind of a slower release type of thing, and where yield isn't necessarily so much of a concern. As far as the Caldol nitrogen was concerned, there wasn't a whole lot of variability. The Scott's at the highest rate was really the only one that was significant. Not a lot of difference in them. So the hypothesis that the Caldol nitrogen should have increased in the foliar leaves didn't really turn out. And again, you can see not a lot of difference between the treatments when comparing the within fertilizer sources. So kind of overall, algae has much slower release of nutrients than seen in the organic and inorganic fertilizers, as was evident by the lower yields. And overall, I think that the biomass yield results are probably much more relevant and applicable to end fertilizer users. The TCAN was done by myself in the lab, and it was much harder, obviously, to ascertain than the biomass was. For forage crops, it may be useful to find out later, but for most other things, I don't think that it's probably that useful. There's lots of future research that needs to go into this, kind of finding out basically what kind of application rates need to be used and what kind of situations algae will fit into well. It does mineralize pretty slowly. There was very little nitrate when it was tested. There was less than a tenth of a percent of nitrate of that, about 6% nitrogen in it. So it's possible that it could be used as a substitute for fertilizer, where maybe leaching is a concern. Other studies have mentioned algae grown on dairy effluent as opposed to human, and they found that there wasn't a significant difference between top dressing the fertilizer and incorporating it, which is something else that could be tried with this. The other thing is that algae has a fair amount of carbon in it. The CN ratios of a lot of the samples that we tested were somewhere around 8-1. So do repeated applications help improve soil organic matter? And can those mineralization rates kind of be characterized in general and then tailored to certain crop needs? Because at this point, all it's really been tried on is that ryegrass, and there's many other crops I think it could probably be useful for. Also, are these relationships sort of consistent over different environments and different soil types? And does it contain any sort of useful plant growth regulators? There's been other studies on chlorella, which was the main organism that was found, that had some usefulness in seed germination stimulation in lettuce and maybe just jasmonic acid production. One concern that will need to be addressed for sure is, will it actually meet EPA for pathogen and vector requirements? And when I did it, We harvested it directly from the dissolved air flotation ponds and then used the lab ovens. And when they met that time and temperature, they did pass the EPA requirements, but different plants are obviously going to be different. Another concern is whether or not wastewater algae will take up pharmaceuticals or other sorts of things that are in wastewater. And then are there any subsequent concerns when that algae is then applied to soil, and will those be taken up by plants? So kind of in conclusion, algae is not the highest yielding fertilizer, but it has many potential benefits. One of those is that it has a fairly high nitrogen content. Like I said, most of our samples were around 6%, and it's significantly less bulky than a lot of manures. It dries out fairly well and forms kind of a chunky granular consistency, which has been applied pretty well in subsequent field trials. It also contains a fair amount of secondary and micronutrients. It contained somewhere between 1 and 2% of calcium, magnesium, and sulfur, so it seems that it could probably be a pretty complete fertilizer. And it also has a fairly high carbon content, which could help in certain situations increase the soil organic matter. Aside from just plant growth, there's a couple other things that the algae can be useful for. The biomass, like I said, is just being lost from the system, either being recycled back in or landfilled. So this would be a way to capture some of those nutrients and have a useful purpose for them. It would also help to defray some of that fertilizer disposal cost. And in general, it's just going to benefit the wastewater treatment plant, municipality, and the environment. So, in final conclusions, algae, the fertilizer, seems to be more sustainable than, say, like the bat guano, which has to come from considerably far away. There's more than 300 wastewater treatment facilities in California that utilize algae as one of their primary ways to remediate the wastewater. And it's a lot less bulky than things like manure, especially cattle manure. And it didn't necessarily compare to the bat guano at any of the rates, but at the highest one, like I said, it did compare to the Scots and the inorganic rates. So overall, I think that wastewater algae probably has some usefulness as a source of plant fertility.